This is TWiT.
Samsung held its annual Unpacked event this morning. Florence Ion and I were on set doing live coverage, so we had the chance to analyze the announcements from afar. But Rich DeMuro from KTLA and Rich on Tech was at the event in New York, so he saw things live and in person and even got some hands-on time with the Note 9, might even have it in his hands right now. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yes, I do have it in my hands. This is the lilac purple or lilac lavender, I think. I got to get the name right on this thing.
Yeah, it's something like that. They always have kind of like the purple hue model, so to speak, every year, at least the last three years now. So you've got it in your hands. So like you're way ahead of everybody just using it. That's a nice looking phone.
Well, they did things a little bit. Oh, I just got the notification to be on the show right now. they did things just a little bit different this year. They actually gave out review units at the event. So I thought that was pretty cool because a lot of times they send you your review unit like the day after the event. So it's like, why spend all that money and time and effort? Anyway, but this is it. So I've been checking it out, setting it up, kind of figuring it out. It's very similar to what you have on the S9 Plus. But I think they did fix where the fingerprint reader is. I think the addition of the dual aperture on the camera is nice. And the Bluetooth on the stylus, I'm not sure how useful that's going to be, but I can see how it could be useful if you're looking for that sort of power machine here, like if you do presentations off this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that remote control stylus, I saw you show it off in your YouTube video. It is pretty cool, but yeah, how would you use it? And it's the battery life of the stylus is not very long as well, right?
Yeah, the battery life is just a half an hour outside of the phone. So, of course, it still works. It still works to do all the things you can do on the phone, right? So even if the battery's dead, it's still going to tap the photos and all that stuff or, you know, go around on the screen. But it's just not going to use the remote control part. That's going to stop working. But the good news is it only takes 40 seconds to charge this thing. So it's kind of like an electric toothbrush. There's a little super capacitor on here. So you pop it in here. And there's no actual indication that I can see of how much it's charged. Maybe it's in there in the settings somewhere. But you pop it in there, 40 seconds later, it's charged up. I made the joke that if you have a presentation that's lasting longer than 30 minutes, you know, for work, you should probably trim it down anyway. So hopefully 30 minutes will be enough to get people through.
Just make sure you pull out that S Pen right at the beginning of your talk and no earlier. Otherwise, you'll be wondering what's going on. I thought that the strategy of putting Bluetooth LE into the S Pen and then also the strategy of moving DeX from this clunky like desktop dock sort of thing into a little HDMI dongle is kind of a smart strategy on Samsung's part in the sense that they're taking these things that maybe people might be less inclined to use for whatever reason. Like I'm not an artist, so why would I use the S Pen? Or it's not part of my everyday routine. But giving another reason to, or making it easier to get into there, especially with the HDMI dongle with the DeX technology, maybe that's enough to like move people into more usability, and then they understand why those things are useful and use them more. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the whole. I think that's kind of the bottom line of the Note in general is that you kind of discover what you can do with just a phone, right? So, I mean, I think it started with like a notepad. It's like, oh, I don't need to carry a notepad around because I can actually use the stylus to take notes on the screen. That's kind of cool. I don't need to carry a tablet around because I can actually watch YouTube and videos on this screen without worrying about having a giant tablet with me. So now I can do that. And I agree when it comes to sort of the upper end features like the DeX stuff. I don't know if I try it, but maybe I would now because all I need is that dongle. Now they haven't said how much that dongle is, right? Mm-hmm. Is it like $50 or is it more?
I didn't see a price on the dongle actually. I would be really surprised if it was more than $50, but
yeah, they did say in a briefing that you can use any third party dongle, like an HDMI kind of thing that's certified. So it's not like a secret sauce that Samsung has. So, but they also did not offer up the price in the meeting that I was in, at least when we were talking about this stuff. Yeah. But I think you're onto something, Jason. I think that the people that are getting this phone, they want to get the most out of it. So I agree. Having those extra features are kind of cool. You're like, oh, maybe I'll set my phone up on a tripod and use the little stylus as a remote control and take more family pictures. You know, I like to do that. Whenever we have a family gathering, I always set up the phone on the tripod and kind of take like a timed picture, you know, of the group. Now I just use this.
Yep.
You can use your Apple Watch
That is true. You can use the Apple Watch, and I agree, but that's a how much is that accessory?
Let me think. Yeah.
$300+. So, I mean, I get it. This is not cheap either. You know, the price on this thing, $1,000 for the 128 gigabyte model, and then $1,250 for that 512. But again, you are getting a lot of features built into this thing. I don't think you'd need a tablet if you have this device.
So the reason why I bring up the Apple Watch is I know you just wrote a book about iPhones. Jason says you're an Android guy. I know that you do Rich on Tech and it's you, and so you cover everything. But I just need to know, which phone do you reach for when it's just you and the phone and the TV cameras are off?
I'll be honest. I always carry around two phones, and I hate this question because everyone wants to nail down which phone I use. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest. I love the iPhone for content creation and also the ecosystem. And when you talk about having the Apple Watch on with the iPhone, it's like a match made in heaven. And plus the iMessages coming to your computer, AirDrop for all these little things I make it's amazing. But when it comes to kind of customization and doing things the way I want to do them, that's when I reach for my Android. And the fact that you can do exactly what you want on your Android. You know, you can download 15 different launchers and have your phone work in a different way. To me, is really interesting. But I also respect the fact that Apple has a lot of things that work really well on their phone. And I find myself more frustrated when I'm using my Android than I am when I'm using my iPhone, which is kind of interesting.
All right. So Apple Watch versus what we now know is the Galaxy Watch. Did you have a chance to play around or see the Galaxy Watch up close? And is it running Android or is it running Tizen? That's the big question I have.
The one I saw seemed to be running Tizen because it looked identical to the Galaxy. I think it was the Gear Sport or something like that I tested earlier in the year. I mean, I couldn't even see a difference. I think, number one, the Apple Watch is the best wearable in the world right now. So I'd say the number two is probably the Fitbit, the Versa. I think that's really nice. But it just, when you think about what the Apple Watch does compared to the Fitbit and these other things, it just works so seamlessly with the iPhone that it's really tough to beat that. I also think the integration of companies, like at my gym, when I get near my gym, my little wallet pass pops up on the Apple Watch. And that's just something that's really delightful. You know, it's like I didn't expect that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Instead of having to reach for my phone to get my barcode, it just shows up right in my Apple Watch. It's like little integrations like that that I haven't really seen on a big level or easy from the other guys. I mean, I know Versa has other integrations. I'll be honest, I never even set them up, never even set up the Starbucks card on there because it just seemed like, okay, am I really going to use this? I don't know.
Speaking of little magical things, you also showed off the camera in the Note. Is it the Note 9 that we're talking about?
Okay. There's been nine of them at this point.
Is it the not iPhone that we're talking about, right? That's the not iPhone? Okay, got it. You're taking a picture of...
These Android conversations are tough for you, I know.
I know, it's true. When you take a picture of food, like a little icon of food comes up, or when you take a picture of a person, a plant, so it lets you take pictures better of certain items. Of course, when you showed this off, it was their little demo table with the plant and the food that they had put out there. But do you think this is something that will delight people?
I'm trying it right now. My hotel room actually has a little plant right here, and no, it's not working. It's one of these things. I think that anything that gives the average user an edge with their pictures is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You guys know, you probably see people out and about taking pictures with their smartphone. It's literally they're in a 100% dark restaurant and they're taking a picture of the group of the people at the table. And it's like, I know that that picture, unless they're using a Pixel 2 XL, is going to be terrible, right? It's not going to look good at all. So if this device can recognize the scene that you're taking a picture of and tweak those settings that most pros might know how to do and make those pictures look a little bit better, I'm all for it. Like I said, I've only had this phone in my hand for an hour or two right now. I haven't really tested out that feature yet. I'm going to see just what the difference is. But I think that, you know, with the 20 scenes they mentioned, it's everything from like waterfalls to, backlit scenes to a skyscraper scene, a landscape scene, plants, food, all these little things that they've kind of built in. I think we'll see if it's just hokey and kind of like doesn't really help, or if it really does help these pictures. So I don't know. I think that the camera on the Pixel 2 XL to me is the best camera out there. I think that the Samsung camera is really nice, but essentially you're getting the camera that is on the S9 Plus for the most part, except for the addition of these new kind of scenes.
Yeah, well, and that AI that's running underneath, that can go a long way, right? Like a large reason why the Pixel 2 camera is so successful is because of, you know, some of the AI stuff that Google's done behind the scenes. Samsung's obviously doing it here with recognizing scenes and making those dynamic adjustments. Also, when you take a picture, it analyzes immediately and lets you know, oh, someone was blinking in that picture. You should take it again, you know? So little things like that that I think would delight someone when they experience that for the first time. They're like, oh, the phone saved me.
And I agree. I mean, especially with the blinking thing. I mean, how many times, almost every single time I take a picture of me and someone else, what do? You look at the picture to see if it came out okay.
Yeah.
So if your phone can give you that heads up, you'll start to rely on that and not look at the review picture every single time. So I think that is smart. And again, here's the thing, and I think this was really interesting. DJ Ko on stage, that's the guy that's like the Samsung big guy in charge of mobile. He made a little quip at the end, which he said, every year we push these phones and we try to make them better. And he actually said, I don't know if you guys caught this, but he was like, and it is tough to actually make these things better every year because people are expecting these amazing advancements, and we've gotten to a place where these phones are pretty darn good. So it is tough to make them exponentially better every single year.
Absolutely. And then finally, we can't round this out without at least talking about the Samsung Bixby-powered smart speaker, the Galaxy Home. Not available yet. You can't actually buy it or anything, but they showed it off. And they demonstrated it by doing their like musical intro where they have the nice swooshy graphics playing on the gigantic screen. The music in the hall was generated by, I think it was 160 Galaxy Homes throughout the area. How did that sound in real life? Like, it's really hard to gather that on the live stream. It just sounded like music.
Yeah, it actually sounded pretty good. And I caught it about a quarter of the way through. I said, you know what? I guarantee it. This is being generated off those little speakers, because the speakers kind of came out silently from the sides of the stage. And you kind of noticed them there. So they, you know, they're all sitting there. And then I was listening to the music and I said, I guarantee this is being generated. It was great. It did sound good. You know, I'm not an audiophile, so I can't say how great this thing is. I'm sure it's pretty good. I mean, they own AKG. I think Samsung knows a lot about speakers and audio, so I'm sure that this thing is going to be a great sounding speaker. After that, we have no details. Right. When it's going to be out, how much this thing is going to cost. I think Bixby is probably the biggest downside of this, because nobody sold on Bixby. Why would you want Bixby to power your home speaker? I don't really understand that. So I think that if they would have said it would have Bixby and Google Assistant, they would probably have a lot more interest in this device. But if they're relying on Bixby and sound to sell this thing, they got to think again on that.
Yeah.
But the SmartThings Hub is very popular, too, and runs a lot of things. So, I mean, that it contains the SmartThings Hub, right?
I believe that they said that it powers, integrates with SmartThings, yeah.
And I mean,
that is a popular platform, so that's good. But to me, I don't know. I'm kind of a Google Home guy, so to me, it's just, I don't know if I'd take a chance on the Bixby speaker.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the Amazon Echo, which, you know, had nothing when it started, but it was automatically pretty good. But I guess I haven't tried the Bixby, but everyone complains about
it. Well, yeah, and Bixby in general, it like my impression of it, using it over the past like year and a half, and definitely not on a daily basis, is that when it came out at first, it was really more designed to be about device control, like device control with your voice. Now Samsung seems to be expanding it out and saying, hey, we're a voice assistant just like the other ones out there. We do all sorts of things, so much so that we can, you know, have a voice assistant in your home with a smart speaker, and it can manage all of these things. And I think the jury's kind of still out on, like you said, Rich, like whether people actually want that, if they're already kind of bought into an ecosystem. But Samsung loves to think, really enjoys thinking that people want to live their entire life within the Samsung ecosystem. I'm sure there are some people that do. I'm no doubt there are people that, that buy into that. I don't know to what degree, and I don't know that I know anyone that does.
Well, and don't forget, Samsung plays on a very global field. You have Asia, which, you know, you go there and you talk about washing machines and you talk about refrigerators and you talk about these speakers. And yeah, it's not, you know, we're very Apple centric here in the US, and we think Apple, we think Amazon. You have to think there's a whole nother part of the world out there. And so Samsung is very cognizant of that. And in fact, my photographer today, after we were kind of coming back to the hotel, was saying, you know, I really think it's interesting how Samsung has control over your phone, your watch, your speaker, your washing machine, and, you know, those other smart home devices that they mentioned. So there is something there. And I don't think that they're unsuccessful. And I'll be honest, the times that I have used Bixby, I've actually been very impressed with what it can do. It kind of has that deeper level of control of your device. And I think that's interesting. The problem is, when you buy into one of these assistants, you're in. So whether it's Siri, whether it's Google, whether it's Alexa, it's really tough to kind of move in between these various assistants, because you kind of have to get used to them and know what they do and know what they don't do. And you can't really use two of them at the same time, in my opinion.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it also depends on what they know about you already. Like, Amazon knows what you buy, if you know, it knows what you watch and what you listen to, and, you know, the Siri knows, you know, has all the information on your phone, and, you know, Google knows everything.
Knows all of the above. Yeah. But that's a very good point, because something like Cortana, as good as it might be, you know, I don't really have my information stored there. So I don't really know. I don't even want to jump into that, because I'm like, well, I don't, you know, how would I use that? So I do. That's an interesting point, Megan. I think it's part of the reason why these companies are increasingly siloing us into everything that they do. Because it does, it all comes together when you think about these personal assistants. I think Google has done a good job of kind of, you know, like on the Android P, I don't know if you noticed this, Jason, but you can now set Spotify music as like your alarm on the Pixel, which I thought was pretty interesting. So, I mean, I think they're doing a good job of opening these things up as they can. It's tough to do it all. It's tough to integrate all that stuff.
Absolutely. So Rich DeMuro, richontech.tv, is that where your review is going to be, or where can people find it when you're ready to post about this?
Right now, it's all just sort of hands-on, richontech.tv. Hopefully, in the next couple weeks, I'll have a full review, kind of, you know, give this thing a deep dive and take a look at it. But I've got my initial impressions on my website right now, and of course, tomorrow on KTLA Morning News. And the book, you know, I did write a book about the iPhone, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone. And so that's why I've been using my iPhone for probably the last six months or so, nonstop, because, I did find a lot of interesting things that even I didn't know about that thing.
That's awesome. Right on. And I should mention that Rich is going to be here in studio, next month, while Leo and Lisa are away for a couple of weeks helping out on some of the shows. So we'll be doing more shows with you. So we're looking forward to that, Rich.
Can't wait. Looking forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Rich. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to go through all his tweets and see which are tweeted from an iPhone and which are tweeted from an Android.
Don't do that.
Still here.
You know, I actually, can I tell a quick story? Actually, Apple actually did that to me one time. Oh, I shouldn't even be telling this story. I'm probably going to be banned from the event.
Yes, you should.
But they actually said to me, they go, "We can't believe you tweeted that compliment about the iPhone from an Android." And I was like, "Will you look at that? Oh my gosh. That's next level." This happened many years ago, so the person is probably not there anymore. But still, I couldn't believe that was next level. But Megan, you are next level too.
I am next level. I am looking forward to co-hosting the screensavers with you, though, when you're here, and I will have all that data with me.
Yes, you'll have the percentage breakdown. Okay, great. Oh, no.
Yeah, look forward to that. Now we've got lots to look forward to. Thanks again, Rich. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.